great live interview this week. Really good, strong interview. Hey, before I jump in, I just want to tell you about my sponsors. Got a few of them. Got to go through this. It's important. This is quite frankly how we pay for the podcast. And again, nickeled and dimed. Lots of fees. So, you know, I don't want to apologize for that. It's just, that's part of it, right? And so, you know, thinking about who, you know, who sponsors my podcast is just so important to me. And, you know, so I try to partner with people that I feel like offer real value. And so, you know, first up for me is Karen Locker of Solutions for E-Commerce. Now, Karen is getting to raise her prices, getting ready to raise her prices. So I'm just warning you now. However, you can lock in. That's not a threat. That's just reality. And if you can save money and you want the services that I use, that I personally use, and I pay the same price, the discounted price, well, you still save $50 off the monthly rate. And then the beauty is she'll still do that inventory health report that I talk about. It's so important. Q4 is coming. Get that stuff figured out. And then, you know, take an opportunity to align your inventory more. You know, just go back to that 80%, right? That 80% comes from 20% of your inventory. Figure out what that is and then stay on that and just get all through it. And she could help you do that. And I just love what she does for me. And I know she can do it for you. She does it for so many other people that have come through my link. And it's just very exciting for me. So it's solutionforecommerce.com/momentum. And you'll save the $50. Hurry up before she raises prices. Get in there fast. Second off is Scope from Seller Labs. I was just with Jeff Cohen and Tyler Henderson out in Vegas. And, I mean, again, Scope came up in almost every single conversation around the table because it's so important to know your keywords, right? You'll hear Andy and Leron say that all the time. Well, Scope is a tool that we all use to be able to see what your competitors number 1, 2, 3, and 4, what their keywords are. And then you just focus in on that and it gives you a big advantage and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And it's just such a powerful tool. You know, GoDaddy's another one that I use. I'm a domain collector. I am thinking about buying another one. And so I'm going to use trygodaddy.com and save 30%. /momentum. Got to put the /momentum to save the 30%. But I use GoDaddy to house all my domains. I've got tons of them that I buy, and I buy them through there, and you could save 30%. So if you try GoDaddy.com/momentum, you could save that 30% too. So worth it. If you see a good name and it's not taken in this day and age, go try and search your own name and see if it's taken. It's long since taken, but there are other ones out there. Jump on it. Few bucks, save the 30%. And finally, Grasshopper. Grasshopper, where you can also save $50 by signing up. And what's cool about Grasshopper is you don't have to carry two phones. I saw a couple of people this week when I was in Vegas carrying two phones, and I think, ooh, go to Grasshopper. You won't need it. It allows you to get that professional attitude about your company. You know, it goes right to a professional email. Hey, press 1 for customer service, 2 for sales, 3 for, you know, manufacturing if you want. But what's so cool, it's an app on your phone. You don't have to carry a second phone. You don't have to screen your personal calls with business calls, which is gets kind of messy the bigger you get. So, man, I hope you appreciate all those sponsors. I do. There's a lot of value there. I support them all because, quite frankly, I use them all. Let's get into the podcast.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 235, Karen Steinhilber Holmes. Yeah, that's a lot of name. That's a lot of name. And she said, you know, I really go by Karen Holmes, but everybody knows me that other name. And so I kind of have to put it out there. So, you know, Karen is a surprise. You'll meet her and you'll say, she's been a longtime seller, figure big eBayer and this and that. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, yeah, she did that too. However, she's killing it on Amazon and she's killing it in the US and the UK. And then she has the US eBay and the UK eBay. That's hard to say. And then she also has a Shopify store. She is a busy, busy person and just killing it on all of them. And then wait till you hear her depth of knowledge. You will be blown away as I was. Just a great lady. And man, she just blew me away with how much she knows. Great seller. Let's get into the podcast. Okay. Check my levels. Looks like it's recording. So that mic is sensitive and it's directional. So it's pointing at you and it's pointing at me. So there's no stress. So I don't get nervous over that. Okay. I can edit out anything. And it'll sound different because it's going to sound a little tinnier because it's not, you know, not the same, of course. But I love it because I love the live interview because I get to look at yourself. Okay? No stress. All right, welcome back to E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Definitely going to sound a little different as I'm recording this live in Vegas. Looking out at amazing views of mountains, pools, and heat. It's about 100 degrees. I came to Vegas in September because I didn't want to come in August because I thought it'd be a little cooler, and that's a lie. It's like 2 degrees cooler. And so here interviewing someone who we got through most of an interview, but the sound was lost. And I knew we were going to see each other in a couple days, so I decided to just wait patiently and get together. And she's so kind to be able to do it with me, and I really appreciate it. Karen Steinhilber Holmes. Welcome, yes. Karen.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I appreciate you coming and making it to this this personal one, because I think it's different for people when you have to look me in the eye, and it's probably a little more uncomfortable. And so when I do these, I actually enjoy it because it's easy to, I can edit things out, you know, and you never know or whatever. But now I got to look at you and you know the real story. So I appreciate that. So Karen, I know a little bit of your story. So let's do that first. You are a seller. You've been selling for a long time. You sell on Amazon US, eBay US, Amazon UK, eBay UK, and then you have a Shopify store. So she's had a big project going on. And what I appreciate about Karen is she's a little bit older than I am, and yet you're not intimidated by that stuff. And I'm sure it's not easy, because none of it's easy, but to me, that's a big deal. And it's funny, we were joking in the pre-interview about it, but it's true. I mean, it's a big deal that this, I mean, think about other people your age. Are they doing this kind of stuff?
I actually taught two of my sisters and a niece selling on Amazon, and one of them was selling directly to Amazon in England. She has her own production company, and then I taught her how to just be an FBA seller herself, and then another one who did not know anything about computers at all.
At all.
Didn't even know how to get to Amazon. Okay. So when I asked her to log back into her account, she says, "How do I get to Amazon?" That's how basic. But you see the most growth with people like that.
Oh, I agree.
You know, you're accomplishing things all the time. It's a good feeling.
I think there's a negative for the kids today who don't have to go through the pain of learning that. They're really not learning it. They just know, push the button, you know, blah, blah, blah. They don't learn the hows that we all, that little bit of pain is how you get that growth. I think that was a good word that you used, growth. Okay, so Karen has an accent, and it's not a Las Vegas accent, I think, right?
No.
So tell us where you're from.
I was born in Scotland. I was just there until I was 3.5 years old. And then I grew up in Manchester, England. So it's a northern accent.
So it's a northern accent, which is almost Scottish, right?
Sort of, yeah. But it's, I have trouble understanding Scottish.
Even you have trouble. Wow. Yeah. That must be really thick, that one there,
yes.
Right? Yeah. And so you are selling, but you didn't know we sell. So, and I know the answer because, again, I've already done part of this interview. Let's talk about why entrepreneurism is important to you. What makes you drawn to it? Who was it that had that influence on you?
My mother had her own shop when I was growing up, and unfortunately she died when I was 13 years old. But I still remember going shopping with her to market stalls, and they would give her pieces of cardboard to stand on because she had really bad rheumatoid arthritis. So as they emptied boxes of clothes, she would stand on the cardboard for comfort.
So I can't envision this because this is foreign, literally foreign to me, right? No pun intended. It's true, but it's like, so they would bring out this merchandise?
They would have a market stall. It was a big stall. And then they would open up the boxes and hold them up. It's almost like an auction, really. And then people would put their orders in.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So she was there competing with her. I mean, when they ran out of product, they ran out of product.
Yes.
So it was competitive.
Yes. Yeah. People were like, yeah, I'll take some of those.
I mean, I guess you were young, but, you know, do you remember, did anybody just say, I'll take them all and then shut everybody out and then control the market?
Sometimes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But they would be there every week, you know, with clothes.
So they would have this store. So, you would
watch this and learn that? And was it exciting? I mean, woman, in those 8 days, were they mostly women or men buying? What you remember?
I don't really remember. From that, it was women's clothing, so I think it might have been more women there. My mum didn't start to do a clothes shop there. She had 4 children. When I was born, I'm a twin. She had a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. And she used to sew our clothes. She used to knit our clothes. I mean, literally sew them. Then she started finding bargains on the market stalls for us, and her friends would ask, can you get some for me? Can you get
Where'd
it
you get
for
that?
Me?
Yeah, wow.
So she started with, she had suitcases underneath the bed in the bedroom, and people would come round and she'd get them out and she'd sell
kidding?
That way.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like trunk selling, right? Is
oh, yeah.
Over there? Right, that's true trunk selling.
Yeah, and then eventually she got her own little shop, and then she moved next door but one to a bigger shop.
It's a pretty big accomplishment when you sit and think about, looking at your life, you've kind of done the same thing, right? I mean, you start selling, and we'll go into that detail, but then you've expanded, and then you get a bigger shop, and you've expanded. I mean, that's kind of a cool
yes.
trait. You know, when you think about the parallel with her life and your life, I mean, it's kind of interesting. And she was taking advantage of the times, right?
Yes.
There were no internet, there was no computers or whatever, so now you're able to take advantage. At your age, I mean, because we're both up there, and it's like to be able to do that is a pretty cool thing. I mean, to think about that. And I asked you this earlier last time I interviewed. She would crush it now, wouldn't she?
Oh yeah, yes, she would. She would. My mom always knew her numbers. She knew exactly what she made on things. She knew where every penny was spent on, there's an expression in England. What's that got to do with the price of bread? Because everybody would compare things to like when bread prices rise
really?
and down and that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so and my mum would literally know what the price of bread was at any
and
time.
She would
yeah.
So she would adapt very quickly and expand. And I think you even said that she'd probably be running Amazon or at least that
yeah.
size company
yeah.
With that skill set. So you picked up that skill set. You had that. Did it show itself at an early age for you? Were you one of those kids selling lemonade on
no.
the corner or anything? So
never.
it didn't rear its head early on.
I was never really a seller as such. I don't feel like I'm a seller in the true sense of the word. I do not like shopping.
Okay.
I don't like shopping
Which
at
is rare.
All. But I started out selling. Well, I guess I've done cosmetic selling in the past, mainly because I needed to when I first came to America. I just had a living visa, Tony had a working visa, and so now we're naturalized, we're American citizens. I really got started with Amazon was because I was a big Beanie Baby collector. And I wrote a book on them, and it's 470 pages long.
That's
crazy. It's 4,000 items.
470 pages on Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
There's that much
yeah.
knowledge.
Yeah, there was a lot. They had their own poems. They had the intro dates, the birth dates, the style numbers. And it's there's still people collecting, but more these days people want to know what the price is because they're selling and
right.
that. Or
and
they've had some of this collection.
I mean, I remember my oldest son, who's in his early 30s, and I remember him collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get the ones for him. And so that would be, 30 years ago. Right?
Yeah, my son's, I've got a 32-year-old, 28-year-old, and I have a surprise 21-year-old. And I started collecting when my 21-year-old,
okay,
was 1 year old, yeah.
They were into it, and I remember chasing these things and this and that, and there was a market for it then. And
yeah.
I remember, actually, a bunch of people I've interviewed have also done really well with that. Is there still a market to the Beanie Babies, honestly?
It depends. Yes and no. There's still some collectors, diehard collectors. I was one of the biggest collectors. I had one of every Beanie Baby, and that's why I was contacted by a publisher to work on a book with them. And I still do a Beanie Baby price guide. It's called BeanieBabiesPriceGuide.com, and I do it with two other people, and we just research and see where the prices are now, because the majority of the time people are looking to sell.
And where do most people sell them at? On eBay, or is there
eBay,
Facebook groups now?
Facebook Marketplace and that, and rummage sales, or donate. Sometimes it's just worth
I
them
see
donating.
Them everywhere. I mean, even yard sales. You go to a yard sale, and there's almost always going to be a big bin of Beanie Babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not a scarcity amongst them, generally.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There are some. There's one called Chef Robuchon, and that you could get $4,500 or $5,000 for it.
Goodness.
I had that.
I'm going to put a link to this Beanie Baby. What is it? Beanie Baby Price
Beanie Babies Price Guide.com.
Beanie Babies Price Guide.com. I will put a link to that, because that's just cool.
Yeah, we update it regularly. We have three different prices for mint, non-mint, and or no tag. You know,
okay.
It goes.
And the mint is where they put the tag in the little plastic case.
It's like museum quality, you call it.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you think about that, but somebody made, private labeled, that little tag cover, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about all those, you know.
There were a lot of businesses that were created by that, the plastic cases, too.
Okay, so give us a couple examples. So the plastic cases, the little, so the display cases, right, where they were kind of about their size, the little plastic tag covers were
created.
Tag
protectors.
Obviously, you guys made money writing a book and guides, right? People paid for that or what have you. What other businesses were created?
There were some businesses that were created that Ty's lawyers went after because they were using his product to promote, like, colouring books and things. There was in the colouring activity, and
without
it was
a
huge lawsuit. But the people, you know, managed to get a nice big house and that out of it. Les and Sue Fox, I think the names were. But they got in trouble with Ty because he didn't want people using his name to, you know, profit from it. But these little beanie seats.
Chairs?
I mean, yeah, chairs. And I used to have special cotton gloves that are for collection when you're a collector.
Oh,
so you don't get the oil off your hands on it. Because stuffed toys can collect a lot of dust. I mean, when you get any stuffed toy, you really want to put it in the freezer and then kill off any dust mites or things that could be in it.
Gosh.
I know, it's like,
I'm creeped up.
I know.
Those Beanie Babies, right?
You really, because often children's hospitals can't take the donations because of some having a low immune system, so they can't take
sense.
It. Outside do. Fire stations and things like that are good places to donate to.
When you think about that now, so you think about Beanie Babies, right,
mm-hmm.
and how well it is done for you, and the ancillary businesses, to me, that's very creative, right?
See, I did it, though, to collect. I didn't do it to sell.
But now you have the seller's eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were the buyer's eye back then. Now you have a seller's eye. I think that's a huge advantage because you know what buyers want, right? You can sit back. And so to take that as a good example, that Beanie Baby and all those ancillary businesses, or a cell phone, right? And all the cases and the little clip-ons and that little thing I just saw today where it flips down and you can put your credit cards in it. And the stands and the this and that. To me, that's the beauty of this. When you can take somebody else's product and you can enhance it without infringing on their patent or definitely not touching their trademark. To me, that opportunity is here.
Yes.
I mean, and so have you been able to think about or use that as in your business in any way, any of that stuff that you've seen, using that buyer's eye, that
do. I love people, and I like working with people, and I have some friends who are artists, and so with one of my friends, I'm like, let's do a product that uses your artwork, you know, and then that helps her, it helps me. She already has social media, you know, following and things. In fact, a company's contacted her to that wants to use her artwork. She's like, you found me first. And it said you believed in me first. And that.
Well, in the past, how would they have gotten their thing out, right?
I know.
It would have been that local little sale, you know, local, regional, you know. They wouldn't have been able to get out into this global marketplace. So it is kind of cool that you almost help discover someone.
Yes, yeah. Well, she's already
cool.
Got her own little following, but this is a different way, a different avenue for her too. And it makes it fun for both of us, you know. And I have another friend who makes earrings. And she used to be a big jeweler and make wedding rings and things for people, you know, one-offs and that. And now she has some trouble with medical condition, you know, shaky, a little shaking sometimes. But when she works on jewellery, she has no shaking. Oh. It uses a different part of your brain and that. So she's making all these earrings. I'm like, well, I can sell them for you, you know? That's and awesome. So I work with her and they sell them. And it just, it makes it fun.
They must think you're like a wizard, though, because, you know, I mean, think about it. You know how to do this? Although that's a kid's game. And yet you have that skill set. So
sometimes I don't feel like I know a lot because you see so many huge sellers, you know, and I think, you know. But then when you break it all down, you realize, or when you're teaching someone, you realize quite how far you've come and how much you know.
How much you know. And I always say this, is generally, those huge sellers have teams.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put the capital, I mean, if you want to be, and I don't, maybe I'm, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you like being a sole, small, little business who kind of can set her own size? Or do you want to run a large corporate? I mean, that's what it happens. I mean, some of these places, I mean, we just saw Sam Cohen speak. He's got huge responsibilities. He's got a lot of high-paid staff, a lot of people that are relying on that. That's a lot of responsibility. That's Sam.
Yes.
That's his world. He's meant for that. That's not Steve. Mm-hmm. Is that Karen? What are you more comfortable with?
I've always liked the saying, don't put off today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can delegate today.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not afraid to give somebody, pass it over to somebody, but I like to keep it pretty small. I like to keep it very simple. I have very few SKUs, variations of those SKUs as the products became successful, and then I added more colours and things and did variations. But I do like to keep it simple and on Amazon, I decided to go to eBay because some people were already taking my listings from Amazon and putting them on eBay.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I thought, well, if they're selling them there,
right,
I may as well do it myself.
Right,
you know?
Drop shippers, right? So they're buying it. If anybody doesn't know what that is, right, it's common sense. You have a product you're selling on Amazon, they will put it on eBay, automatically steal your image, and if it's your image or if it's whoever's image, they'll take all the content, use software that does it automatically, they'll put it over there, they'll mark it up. They will operate on a 4% margin. They'll merchant fulfill it from, or a multi-channel fulfill it from Amazon, get it delivered to you. And I guess it's over, they do it at such a dollar amount, they don't even have to pay shipping, right? So it's free shipping for them. And then they make a margin on it, and it's about 4%. I've heard as much as 10% for the really good ones. But they do it on huge volumes.
Mm-hmm.
So why not put your own product over there at close to the price you're selling on an Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
You steal back your buy box.
And then you've got, if it's your own brand, you know, you want to represent your company.
Absolutely.
And I do have the Vero
protection,
verified rights owner protection. And I've spent literally thousands on professional photographs. And so I object to somebody taking the photographer's work and putting it up on eBay. It's not fair to the photographer,
right,
because they should be paying him to do images for them, or at least get some compensation.
It's definitely not fair to you.
And it's not fair to me. And you never know if they're going to be shipping a different product.
Well,
and it's in your name, your pictures, and they could ship out a cheap product.
So we had an example today. We were sitting here with Dan Wentworth, and we were looking at products, and I showed him a particular one I'm looking at, and then all of a sudden I noticed there's a brand new seller. And the store name is like Y2200NP, blah, 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 just launched. And I'm like, huh? And so the retail price of the product was $21, and they're selling it for $9.80 magically. And then I look, and they're selling all variations of the same product for $9.80. There's no way that that's real. There's no way that product is real. This is a name brand product, not mine, somebody else's. There's no way. And so it's counterfeit, mm-hmm. or it's never going to get fulfilled, one or the other. Either way, it's going to be fake, right? And that completely damages the brand. So now they're in trouble, right? Because they can't sell their product. What they're selling is not really their product. So nothing's happening. And that brand is in trouble with that product right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can see customer reviews and that. You know, they'd be upset because it wasn't supplied to that. But yeah, they think it's on the brand's name. And when you have, I help people get trademarks and that through the process. A lot of people have a lot of questions about it. You know, they don't quite understand what you're trademarking.
Well, walk us through that. What does that mean?
Okay. When you're trademarking a name, it's not your business name. You have your legal entity name and that. And some people think that's what they're trademarking, but it's not. You could have your legal business's name. It could be Stephen Enterprises, LLC. And then you've got different brands.
Your product.
So like Pepsi and Cola and that. And so then you can have multiple brands underneath it. And so I like to use a company to help because they have a big database that they can search to see. And you're looking to make sure that you can get on the social media platforms. You're looking to...
So if you have a brand, right, and you search off first to make sure it's not already, somebody hasn't protected that name. Then you're checking to make sure that you can get a website for it because that's a big deal. Making sure that on social media, like you're saying now, you didn't think about that. That's relatively new that you want to have the Facebook and you want to have Instagram.
Well, yes, because if you start to advertise, you don't want somebody else to get the traffic and you're paying for the advertising of it.
You want to do that before you launch.
Before your product,
Before you launch. And it's so simple. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very difficult. It's almost like a checklist item. I mean, that's what it would be. It's like somebody should develop a checklist. Okay, make sure you got this one. Make sure you got this one. And then... do all that up front.
Yes.
That would be helpful. You should do
that. Yeah, I do have a website where I offer to help people with the trademark. Just a few services, because there's a lot of great services out there. I feel like in today we have so many companies that we're really fortunate, you know, but whether it's to do with repricing or inventory or... accounting, there's just a lot of services out there that we're fortunate to have, and the prep centres. I love the prep centres, and so I was trying to offer things that people have questions about, but they don't know where to go.
Right.
They don't
Sticking
know who knows,
points, right.
You know. So it's like all my friends and that I get a help answer questions in different groups, Scanner Society, Lisa's Store. As many groups as I see, you know, and if I can answer the question and help the person who's, you know, runs the group, then, you know, I feel like I'm doing my part. I don't want to create a new group. There's enough groups out there, but I like to join in and help people. But sometimes people don't know, my friends know what I, you know, roughly what I know. They come to me, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do that? But the other people, they don't know who they can go to. And so I'll just say to people, yeah, you could go here, you can go here, you can go here. So I was trying to come up with some services that I know, have information about, I've worked on, that other people don't know, so that people know who they can ask me.
Right.
So I think I've got on my website helping people with the trademark. And I typically say to people, don't necessarily go with a name that's, say, up and down or something that, you know, inside out or names that could apply to anything. Because
right.
when somebody's searching for your, it's difficult to enforce. You may not get it. So you wait 10 months and find out you don't get it. But it's also, you want people to easily find you.
Right.
So you want a name that is distinct so that when they're looking for your product, if you say, you know, I used to have my product and people say, oh, I'd like that. Where do I get it? And I say, well, go on Amazon and search and by my brand name and that, and then they find it.
So let's just use like up and down jewelry. That would be a bad example, right? Because I guess the word jewelry's in there, that helps some. Right?
Yes, yeah.
Let's just say, you know, help.
But
brand
you
is
may
just up
want
and down.
To go onto other accessories.
Okay.
Later, you may start with jewelry, but you may want to have.
Perfect example. So what would you suggest in that case? So you would say, I wouldn't use that because it doesn't relate. Nobody's going to relate that to an accessory or which jewelry or makeup or whatever.
Yeah.
So you
in that situation. In some of Amazon's some of Amazon's programs, like the not the enhanced brand content, I'm trying to think of
brand registry or
is it Fen, which one? In one of Amazon's systems, they want the brand first,
right?
I think it might be the enhanced brand content. They want you to put the brand name first on the title.
Okay.
So you don't want a really long name.
Well, that helps too, and
because
right.
you've got your first five keywords are the most important
right.
keywords. So you don't want... So I always try to stick to
five
characters,
so,
you know,
so,
for a brand name.
So your advice is, if you're going to create a brand, go to five characters.
Yeah, that's not always possible,
but
yeah.
try to find something mm-hmm. like, you know... I mean, think about Google, right? It's a great example.
Yeah, yeah.
What did that mean?
It didn't mean anything. Google, Pepsi, Nike.
Well, Coca-Cola. I mean,
Coca-Cola.
I just saw a story on Coca-Cola. It didn't really have a name. It didn't really mean
mm-hmm.
anything. The guy came up with it, and boom, it just stuck, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, and then you could take, like, the new product that's called Hint. You know, it's the water with flavor, you know, a hint of it. I would not necessarily have said, use the word hint, because you could search for hint and 100 products could come up that have that word in the description or something.
Okay.
So you, to me...
So it's
and
like
I'm,
a unicorn. You want to come up with something very, 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 very unique.
Unique, so
yeah.
that you can it can be found.
And so do that work up front.
Or Zappos,
right.
things like that.
Something
yeah.
unusual. So do that work up front. Do all the research, buy the domain, and buy it from GoDaddy, my sponsor. Try GoDaddy.com, right? It's serious. I'm a domain guy. So when I come up with one of these things, and it comes to you in the weirdest times, I literally go and I find it on GoDaddy to make sure it's available. And so that's why I always say, go to try GoDaddy.com, save 30%. And save at 30% of $12 is not a big deal. But it's worth doing. And that piece, if you do that up front, you are going to save yourself an enormous amount of time. Because getting that, once you launch a brand, there are people that will troll those and go and buy those domains. And guess what? Try to go buy it now. It was $12. Now it's $2,400
yeah.
or more.
I was going to ask you then, since you don't know so much about the domains, just like with airline tickets or things like that, I found if I've searched for a domain, sometimes then when I've gone back, it's gone up in price, so somebody's
right,
bought
right.
it. That so do they actually?
I would guess. I have no clue whether
yeah.
they do, but I'm with you. I think so.
So I say to people, when you're searching, if it's available, be prepared to buy it
right.
then, because somebody else maybe, you know, see who's searching, you know, for
and
that
so,
name.
And here's my other advice. So when I buy domains, and I always said I buy it for a couple of years. It gets cheaper. And then I always buy the anonymous, and I buy the other couple things, right? You want to protect yourself, right? Those, it ends up costing me about, I think it's like $60 or $70 for 3 years worth of it. I mean, so it's really inexpensive. And to buy that, to possibly have, I mean, think of the millions of dollars these big giant companies spend to get that name and get it right, right? You always
yes.
think of car names, right? The crazy car names, the Taurus and the, you know, the Escape and all those things. They spend millions of dollars in hiring consultants. So when you've got one, spend the $70 and get the discount, and then you're safe. And I think it's a smart move. I agree with you. I just buy it, and then I go back, and I've got a bunch of them I don't use, and I should turn them back in. I just let them sit, and when they bill me to final let it lapse, I just let it lapse. And I'm sure I do that with a lot of them. But it's very small investment for potential real, you know, because
yeah.
if you don't have it, you know, it's not the same. You know, think about some of the companies you've searched for, and it's like, you know, up and down accessories. I'm not typing all that in there.
No.
Right?
No.
So I need up and down, period, or else, right? I mean,
yeah.
whatever the example would be. And so that's really, really important. That's good advice. All right. So you work with the company. What's your website? So I'll let you pump that out there.
KarenBritt.com.
Karen?
Britt.
Britt, B-R-I-T. So KarenBritt.com. I'll put it on a link on the website, and so she offers services if you're interested in it.
Yeah, the other services is copywriting.
Do you think you have a talent for that?
No, not that sort of copywriting, I'm sorry. I mean, like, say you wrote a book.
Oh, and helping people
or
get
say,
a copyright.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, I have all my photographs, professional photographs, copyrighted. I put them all in an e-book, as though it was like a book
mm-hmm.
thing. And then you upload it to the government site, and then you mail it in. It is the procedure for copywriting. So I just redid another. I had 100 photos, and it cost me $55 to copyright them.
Nice.
That's all it is. It's $55.
Right.
And that enabled me, when people are using my images on eBay, I've got the legal backing to say they're infringing on my copyright.
Okay, so there, okay, this is a pro tip, right? So this is a way, again, to protect yourself. So take the, spend the 55 cents, it sounds like.
$55.
For 100.
For 100 photos, yes.
Yeah, so 55 cents a photo, right? I mean, that's what it was, basically.
Yes.
So spend the 55 cents, and that's how you can kick off a hijacker.
Yes.
In essence. I mean, that's what you're describing.
And
can I then kick off a drop shipper?
You can. What copywriting does is, I mean, theoretically, if you put TM after your name, it's trademarked. If you put C, it's copyrighted. You work. A lot of people are doing courses. So there's a lot of groups with great content, great information that's being stolen by other people, you know. And you can send cease and desist letters out until you're blue in the face. They often don't do something. But if you've copyrighted it, and if somebody continues to use, I've got somebody who's using 9 of my photos.
Right now you have somebody doing it.
Well, they lasted one day and they got them kicked off. They were using 9. They even put their own logo on my photo. They put their logo on it so nobody could copy their photo. I'm like, that's my photo. But with you having the legal backing, it can be up to $125,000 per incident.
So that's
that
real,
they do.
That's real.
So when you're talking about them possibly having to pay you, then they take notice.
Wow. And
without it, you cannot. You don't have any monetary claim.
Right.
You can stop them, but there's no monetary claim.
So we are seeing a lot of infringement conversation on Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big item right now. And eBay, you don't really see as much, but it happens more frequently in eBay, right?
They steal from Amazon and put over onto eBay.
And so by having that copyright, that trademark, having all that done up front, you have the ability to enforce it. And it's only going to get easier to enforce it as you're able to find, you know, we just sat through, I don't know if you sat through, it was Peter Kern's presentation.
I know Peter.
He was just sitting there talking about how if you register your brand on Amazon, you get a search. Your trademark, your image, you could search all that and anybody who's using it. And he said very soon there's rumor that they're going to actually show the legal name of the company listing it, not just the store name.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden that's real teeth. And if you have all that protection in place, you now have the ability to really enforce it. And that's how you fix this problem. I mean, you have to enforce it.
Always covered myself, you know.
But that's
left and right.
How much extra time does it take? Because I'm sure people are like, Steve, that sounds great, but we're busy. I'm busy. Karen, you're busy.
Yes.
You're busy. So how much additional time does it take?
It's not a lot at all.
Right.
Because I probably will do a step-by-step so people could do it, or I can help them with it, you know. It's
minutes.
In minutes? I put 100 photos into this book thing. I just did it paste, but you know, it probably within the hour.
Okay.
I had my work copyrighted.
So you spent an hour. And so here's the thing, though. Tell me if I'm correct. This is probably like a duh, Steve. If you spend that hour, you are now making sure that you get the sales when they sell.
Yes.
Right? So therefore, instead of going to find other products to sell, you might already have the right products to sell. You just need to sell more of them. And this is a way you can sell more of them because other people are going to sell your product. You already said, the minute you put a product on Amazon, it automatically showed up in eBay, right? At a much higher price. Well, guess what? Every product, go look for your product. If you don't think that's happening, go search for your product. I guarantee it's out there, right? It's all automated right now. It's all software driven. By doing what you're describing, you're now going to get the eBay sales. So instead of spending so much time sourcing a product, you could just make sure you're getting the most from the existing products you have by spending an hour.
Yes.
That's a pro tip. I mean, I don't have the time. Well, yeah, take time that you're doing this other stuff and you can probably enhance what you're doing. That's why you're on so many channels. I've been sitting there thinking about this, though. You're selling on Amazon US, Amazon UK, eBay US, eBay UK. So that same product that you have, how many variations, you're selling in 5, and Shopify, 5 different marketplaces.
Mm.
So you didn't have to go source all products for just US and all products for UK. I mean, to me, that's That's a skill.
Well, the other thing that I do and help people with is understand the GS1 barcodes.
Right.
And so when you're saying I'm selling different places, at first I was doing the FN SKU,
okay.
which is the fulfillment
right.
network
right.
stock keeping unit
right.
Stands for. So I was doing
that's assigned by Amazon.
That's assigned by Amazon. It takes into you as a seller and the ASIN, and it comes up with its own B00 number or X00 number for the FN SKU. The ASIN's the B00 number. So, hold on a minute. Originally, I would put the X00 number on my products coming from China, and so that they didn't have to put stickers on them.
So let's just make sure people understand this, right? So you had your Chinese manufacturer put your FN SKU on it, so it just gets sent directly to Amazon. You didn't have to label it again. You didn't have to mess with it.
Yes.
Right. So that's.
But I have it delivered to me, and then the
well,
auto
whatever,
press
but still,
sends
you didn't have to do
that,
any
yeah.
extra work. You didn't have to pay anybody to label it. You didn't have to do any of that jazz. Okay.
But.
Until.
I then was selling in the UK.
Uh-oh.
That's a different.
Whoa. So that's a challenge.
Zero number. And I also wanted to start, have the possibility of selling wholesale to little.
Retail shops.
Retail shops, you know, specialty shops that there. And so I'm thinking, so I had the backing of my product packaging, you know, so I could swap it out. And I thought, this is ridiculous. This is a waste, you know. So the GS1 barcodes, you know, Amazon had announced that they would prefer people to have the GS1 barcodes and that.
The standard.
And often when Amazon make changes, it actually enhances your own business, you know. So
if you embrace it, or, well, if you go in with a positive attitude,
mm-hmm.
And it sounds like to you, you saw it as, okay, yeah, it's painful, but it makes sense, and there's an opportunity for you. But a lot of people say, oh, this is BS. I don't want to pay that $100 and then have to re-up it every year or 10 years. That's work. That's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
However, you're saying no.
I'm saying it's, if you've got your own brand, or it can even be if you've got bundles. With it, if you want to be looked at as a legitimate company.
Right.
And if I was going to go into retail stores and I'm going in with an Amazon's thing on the back, or I'm going in with a barcode and somebody looks it up and they say, wait a minute, Stephen Peterson owns this barcode.
Right.
What are you doing selling? Yeah, what are you doing selling this product that's not your product?
Right.
This is assigned to somebody, like if you buy them on eBay, it's designed to say a golfing company. You know, they are issued by the GS1, but they're issued to somebody else other than you. So to look like a legitimate company, you want it, when they search that barcode, for your company and details to come up. And by having the GS1 barcode, I mean, I did the 100, which was $750 to get 100.
Okay.
And then it's 150 every year to renew it. So you don't want to use them willy-nilly if you're not going to reuse it. Because say
it's 150 for the 750, or for the, so wait, it was $750 for 100 of them.
For 100, you get it, the extensions. You get what they sell you is like the prefix.
Okay.
And then the 750, you get 700, you get 100.
Unique.
And
do you have to use them on the same type of product? Can I use one on this this picture, and then one on this coffee cup, and one on that water bottle, and one on the gum over there?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not mandated. It makes sense if you do. Logically, you want to try
anything that's under your legal entity.
Okay, so I bought 100.
You can have it. You can put your brand.
They're registered to my company's legal name.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's when I sell my company, can that transfer over to somebody else?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a value, number one,
mm-hmm.
because if you're going to build a legitimate brand. Second question is, next year it's a renewal. my $150, that covers that $100?
That $100. So you don't want to say you've used
40
five for your brand,
right,
and 95 for one-off bundles or things.
Right.
But you have to renew all of them. So you want to make sure that you're using them, that you're going to get your value.
So then is the smart move, all right, and I don't know if this is against terms of service or not, maybe I'm wrong, so but if you're building a brand, do the GS1, that makes a lot of sense. And if you're building sustainable bundles, not one-offs,
mm-hmm,
when you're doing one-off, you can get away with the FN SKU.
Yeah.
Right? And that makes sense, right? Because that's yours. Okay. But I think where we started this part of the conversation, I want to make sure I'm clear on this, is by going to a GS1, you were able to use that on all five channels. Correct?
Yes. The only one I can do it for the retail. I can do it for the US, and I can do it for the UK.
What can't you do?
The only one I can do it is the small and light program.
Okay.
Because that's a separate
unique identifier that allows So it's everything but that.
Everything but that.
Okay. But you can put it on your eBay US, your Amazon US, your Shopify. If you sell to retailers, which is a great business model, I mean, it's a great way to buy scale, right, when you have that ability to meet those minimum quantities. Who says you have to sell it only on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And your UK Amazon and your UK eBay, you can use the same one.
Yes. At first I had trouble working it out, and that's why I decided to offer the service to help people, because at first I tried to change my settings when I was sending the shipment in, change my settings to be manufacturer's barcode, it's called. It used to be called stickerless,
mm-hmm,
and now it's called manufacturer's barcode.
Okay.
Or commingled, all those names. And so I'm looking at, and they were still showing the FN SKU when it came up, and I'm thinking, why does it imprint the labels, you know? And then Dwayne Malik was the one who helped me. He had gone to a conference in Orlando, and I'm like, I knew he'd been talking about doing commingling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the great thing about networking and all these different groups. You learn.
Somebody has solved the problem you have.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So how you do it is I had my listings, you know, because I had the other barcodes that I was using. And then when I wanted to go to commingle, you actually have to create a new listing.
Ah.
And you do the setting before you create your listing. So you go into your settings, you change it from Amazon barcode, you change it to manufacturer's barcode, then you do add a product.
Okay, and it's preset. Let me ask this question. Do I then, when I add that product, do I lose all the reviews? Do I lose all the information that was there? Or do you go eventually and merge the two?
It's really hard. You can't guarantee that they're going to be merged. You know,
but if you went to them and you said, hey, look, we had one, it was a GS1, I wanted to get a GS1 because I want to enhance the customer's experience, and this is my brand, I own the brand, here's my new listing, here's all the information from the old listing, can I get it merged over here? Sometimes they'll do it.
You hope. I didn't have any luck getting them merging it.
So you lost all your reviews, you lost all your...
No, what I did in the end.
Oh, there's a trick. All right, here we go. Pro tip.
I created a variation.
Ah, so hence the reason, once in a while, and I think about this, I mean, this makes perfect sense, you see a 12-pack, and then also you see the word 12-pack. And so one happens to be a variation. Can you then deactivate it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what happens, is somebody goes out and then, so you have it, you fix it, and then you deactivate something, and then that's
Yeah, you're only supposed to have one SKU live on an ASIN in the same condition.
Right.
You could have like a new condition, you could have a used condition, but or even FBA and merchant fulfilled.
Right, sure.
But you can't have two new FBA
live.
So I found a way around, like when I used to have supplements and I would send in, say, 1,000 at a time of supplements. And I found out one time that my new supplements were shipping ahead of my old ones. And I'm thinking, I'm getting close to, you know, the expiration date.
Yeah,
you have to, they'll do it,
right.
so much before.
It should be first in, first
yeah.
out, right?
And Amazon will swear it's first in, first out. But it's per warehouse. So, say my supplement was like a health supplement. There's B pollen, a natural supplement. So, California were huge buyers of my supplement. Now, Pennsylvania somewhere, or where, I'm not... nothing personal, but just for example, Pennsylvania may not be as big a buyer of bee pollen, you know, and so I needed to force Amazon, if they still had stock in Pennsylvania, I needed to force them to ship it to that customer in California before they used my new products.
I think
because
I know where you're going.
I almost... You know,
that's
was about to lose 200. I was selling over 300 to 400 bottles a month, and so I had to have enough inventory in there. And so, and as get down to 200, I didn't want the new ones going in to lose money on 200.
Right.
You know, so.
Talking reserved, or what are we talking about? How did you get around that?
I did closed listing.
So you
You put it on hold.
Yeah,
you can put it on. You can put it on hold.
Right.
Yeah.
So you put it on reserve, and so you were able to reserve the new listing of products, which had the new stuff, and then your old stuff would sell through. Is that kind of the way you're describing it?
Yeah.
So then it was
Or you can just do like when you go to edit listing.
Right.
There's a closed listing.
Okay, that's
it closes the listing.
Doesn't delete the listing.
Doesn't
deactivate
delete
it. It just says.
And they tell you how you can tell it's not deleted. Is when you go to your inventory and you look at your inactive, you'll see 000, but you'll see the quantity there of your new shipment you've sent in. So I would send it in, the new, because I didn't want to run out of it,
right.
And they'd see the quantity, and then, I always had to check, because every now and then it'd flip it back and make it live again, and so I would check every day that it was still, you know, closed. And it can't be for more than, I think, 30 days that you close it. So you'd have to just redo it again.
Okay.
And
make it live and then
live for
again.
A little while and close it. But you hope it's all sold through by the time,
right.
You know, you've done it. You try and time it right. So I'd close it. And then when somebody'd ordered in California, it doesn't show up as in your inventory. So they're like, oh, hey, I've got some in Pennsylvania. Let's ship it to them. So they would ship it. Sometimes they'll ship it over to California and then ship it out from California, however Amazon does the distribution. Or it'll even it about your inventory. You know, you see Amazon in the background moving inventory about.
This is a lot of moving pieces, though.
Oh, yeah.
This is a lot to manage. Would you say that majority of sellers are not paying attention to this stuff?
I think it would depend on, if somebody's doing retail arbitrage,
right.
They may not have large quantities,
right.
so it sells out.
Right.
But if you're doing wholesale and you're doing large quantities, then you have to keep sending it in.
Right.
And so, it's, because you have to create a new SKU too when you're doing that. So, and like you say, you can also put it on hold.
Right.
You know, as though you're shipping it to yourself.
This is the stuff, though, again, you know, and I think this is one of the cool reasons I had Karen on, because I think this is really important. She doesn't have a lot of SKUs.
No.
However, you got a lot of variations. Found a good niche. Sell well in it. Sell deep, right? Lots of options. Sell on multiple channels. That's enough as long as you maximize the sales there. So when you try it and it's not working... Well, it's because you're not maximizing the sales. You're letting other people sell it on eBay, right? As we described earlier, because you're not on eBay. Why not? Because it's a few minutes. Enhance that stuff and make sure that you've protected your product. And now all of a sudden, you don't have to have a 1,000 SKUs because you can't. All the stuff you're describing, I guarantee your people are in here listening. They're like, oh my God, that's a lot. I couldn't do that. Well, that's because you have too many SKUs. You could do that if you have fewer SKUs. But that's where the work is, right?
Yeah.
That's where the work is. Making sure that this work is done and done correctly, right? I mean, you've got to put effort into it.
Yes.
It's not a set it and forget it.
At first, I used to have a lot of SKUs you know, and when you see the one of Amazon's inventory reports, it still has your old SKUs, and you see thousands there of zeros, 20, you know.
1,000, I think, I
remember,
or something like that.
And it took a while. I used Inventory Lab for a little while. I don't now because I don't have enough SKUs. You know, didn't need to do it for the number of SKUs I have. But it was a great way to see my numbers, and then
we're
so I went.
Mom.
Yeah, went
back to your mom.
Really?
I'm telling
yes.
you, look at this. We've gone full circle.
And it'd see, you know, what were the 20% selling, you know, and then I just didn't replenish, even if it was making money.
So
I didn't replenish
the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, this is where I'm making my money.
Yeah.
I stopped replenishing these other things. Was it like a weight lifted off of you?
At first, there was a little nervous. I mean, I didn't have to do it because Amazon's allowed us to be able to become debt free.
Right.
So we'd had three kids through college. We had a lot of, money out. And then I told you, I had open heart surgery 8.5 years ago, and I was on death's doorstep. The prognosis was not good for me. And so I'd started by selling my Beanie Baby collection because I'd done the book and people knew me, so they adjusted me, and my husband didn't know one end of a beanie from the other, so it was like,
I may
as well.
And he's happy to see
his
crap getting out of the house, too. He's like, oh, man. I was tired of looking at that stuff, right?
So he did all the photographs for me for the book, so that was nice of him. But, yeah, he'd have nightmares about them. But so I forgot where I was going.
Well, I think what you were saying was is that, you had success. You had a way to get rid of all this stuff. And so by... You didn't have to go down in size. You chose to.
Yeah.
That's to me very powerful. That's a difficult place, but you got yourself into a position that you can do that. Your lifestyle was tight. You got debt free. You got all that stuff, and then you worked on your business, not in your business,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, and my husband was able. We were right on schedule. He was able to retire last year, so. And
because
I thought, and yeah,
so
it helps because we got to.
He's a kept man now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, also his job, he'd worked. This last year, he turned 60, and it was the first year he'd had a summer off in 44 years. He's worked since he was 16. And so it was really nice. It wasn't half as scary for me to have my Amazon business and him retire. I mean, we'd done all the numbers and we'd been saving as well. But to be able to pay off the debt, the Amazon business definitely helped big time.
I want to close with this. So I want to think about this. So somebody who's upper in age, like me, right, a little younger than you, but, has a job or whatever, and is thinking, is this a life that they should pursue? I mean, you said you brought some people in. What's your advice?
Oh, I've actually brought hundreds in, actually, because I did do a course at one time.
Okay, so what's your advice? I mean, is this something that if somebody's listening now and they're like, man, this sounds like something I could love to do, would you say that this is something that if they get it and they connect and they do all the work, that this is a potential way to become debt-free? To have the freedom. Here we are in Vegas in this incredible place.
Yeah.
And you travel a lot. You get to see the world. You get to see your husband.
I just did a 2-week.
Right. You were
2 weeks
in
England.
Right.
Nobody would know I was gone because I sell on Amazon. Amazon Fulfill It. I sell on eBay, US, Amazon Fulfill It. I sell on Amazon UK, Amazon Fulfill It. I sell on eBay UK, Amazon Fulfill It. I sell on Shopify, Amazon Fulfill It. And then I did use a prep center. I do have a prep center that's in Wisconsin. And before I went to England, I said, I'm going to send you a box of products, just like 4 of each product. In case there's a problem and somebody needs a replacement or something's not shipping on time, that somebody wants something urgently maybe, and I've got a 2-day, time frame, then, she has it there to be able to ship it out.
So you've set yourself up, though. This is all planned,
mm-hmm.
intentional
mm-hmm.
to be able to have that freedom. So would you advise somebody still, is the opportunity still here to come in and do similar things?
Oh, absolutely. They have to be prepared to learn.
To work. It's work.
It's more learning. I don't feel like I work that hard, really. But it's, you have to learn. You have to learn the rules. That's number one with Amazon. You know, follow the rules. And the less you have, I mean, when I went down in size, I actually ended up doubling my income.
So you're selling fewer things and doubling your income.
Yeah.
Because you took away, you know, I think it's pressure. All that stuff is pressure. Mm-hmm. There's a lot, you know, that you...
It's like having noise.
Right. It's
like
having a lot of noise around. It's a lot of responsibility. Back to that, too, is about, I don't want that responsibility. So I'm with you. So we've gone down thousands of SKUs and just said, even though they were profitable, nah, not going to sell it anymore. It's just not... It's not what we want. We don't want that responsibility, my wife and I. So, wow. Yeah. Blew me away. Okay, so your website again, because people have, so they can go out there if they're interested in any of these services. You know, Karen's is real, right? I always say that you want to go with somebody you connect with. I think that's just so important. If you resonate with Karen, if this is some connection that you feel like you have, contact her and see if there's something that, but, so tell me the website again.
Karen Britt.
KarenBritt.com. And those, she'll have her services. So if somebody wants to follow up and has a question, can they get to you through that website? Is there a place they can ask a question?
There's a contact me page.
Okay.
Or Facebook, Karen Steinelber Homes.
Okay. I'm not spelling it because it's complicated. I'll put a link to it on the website and reach out to her. Man, it is awesome.
But
awesome.
You know, you see me often answering in different, you know.
Right. So a lot of the Facebook groups, she's out there too. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was fun to talk with you.
Finally, right? We've already got it down.
Yes.
Take care.
Very strong interview. I mean, again, you know, and I'm not saying that she's old. No, I'm not saying that. She's so experienced, but she's so solid. And what I also love is that she finds a way to learn it. I mean, she's not, you know, she's not going to just pass it off on anybody else. She figures it out. And I think that's the tenacity that her mom taught her. It's just awesome to see. Great lady, smart lady, as you just heard. Man, I just love it. ecommercemomentum.com. Remember the sponsors, okay? Remember that GoDaddy. Remember Grasshopper. Seller Labs Scope. Man, you need to be using it. If you're doing private label or wholesale and you want to enhance your wholesale products, and you should be. Yes, you're going to help others with the buy box, but that doesn't matter. You all sell, right? You got to get on that. You want to get on it right away. And then Solutions for E-Commerce, Karen Locker's group, amazing service. Just use the code MOMENTUM on all of them, and you're going to get great service. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.